Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. For just as the body is one and has many members, all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, and so it is within Christ. For in this one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with great honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the great honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have been the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you still more excellent way. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in prayer? Thank you, Lord, for times when we can experience the truth of the gospel. Times when we can be stretched. Times where we can remember our call from you to be your people, your representatives in the world, and also your church together. It's in the name of our Savior and our namesake, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. There was a television show called Star Trek: The Next Generation. And I don't know if anybody ever watched that. Yay! Okay, some of you are really excited about that. In fact, the sermon may just go downhill from there. I'm sorry. But Star Trek: The Next Generation. There were some scenes, though, or some episodes that were based on something called the Borg. B-O-R-G. And the Borg was a gathering of life forms that were literally hardwired together, connected together. And they, being connected together, kind of put their power together and were this really powerful force in the universe. The problem is, once they were connected to one another, they slowly but surely started to lose their identity and who they were as individuals. The church, you see, is something very different. We come together as individuals, gifted, talented, unique, and God brings all of that together into what is called the church, the body of Christ, if you will. Paul, earlier in this letter to the Corinthians, in fact, references that in chapter 10. He uses that imagery of the body of Christ, the bread at the Lord's table. You see, Paul was talking to a church that needed to recognize not only the worth of individuals, but also the power of this thing called the church that God creates to be able to share his good news, to be able to be a channel of his love and grace, to also afford an opportunity for people to get together and to be reminded that they are not defined by the world, but they are defined by God, the Creator. That is a powerful thing. That is something that sustains us, encourages us, stretches us. Because sometimes, being the body of Christ, being the church, is a challenge. Now I want you to think of one person that is really a pain in your neck. Now don't point at me, okay? Now please, let's think of that person. And think if maybe they are another person in this church. Maybe there's somebody that comes here. But think about them coming here, okay, along with you. Now you are called to be able to at least worship with them. You are called to at least be able to sit and focus on God along with them. Paul was reminding the church at Corinth about this truth, that yes, there are some problems that you're having there. Yes, there are some individuals that are lifting up one particular gift above another and therefore lifting themselves up above other people. And yes, there's some disunity and there's some people that are kind of breaking off into cliques. I know the cliques never happen in the modern day church, but bear with me. And they're breaking off into that. And Paul is saying, folks, you're called to be something different than anything that the world sees. We are, as God's church, called to be something different than anything else in the world. Certainly there are similarities, absolutely. But we are God's people, first and foremost. God's church, the body of Christ. Did you know, and I have to refer to my notes here because I'm not a nurse, but did you know that the human body has 206 bones, 639 muscles? Any of those aching today by any chance? Possibly. Most of them are. 630 of those are. And about, now can you hold it, 6 pounds of skin? Okay. If you want to look at somebody right now and pinch their cheeks, you can do that just to kind of feel some of that skin. That's fine. If you know them well enough, or if you want to know them or get to know them, along with ligaments, cartilage, veins, arteries, blood, fat, and more. It is an absolutely amazing organism. It's a miracle of engineering. And it's also something that is put together with an order. And with a plan. It's not just happenstance that we come together and that we function as we do. In fact, it's kind of a miracle just being able to do this, walk across the altar, and use the hands and speak. I don't want to chew gum because I might fall over and fall down the stairs. Can't do all those things at once. But it's amazing to be able to function and see us doing all these things and to stop and think about what a miracle life truly is. There was that display with that particular kind of plasticized technique that a particular artist used to be able to show the insides of a body. It was in Phoenix. It's in San Diego right now. And to be able to think about the miracle of what God has made whenever he made us. That, my friends, is something that Paul is trying to remind the early church at Corinth. That is something that we need to hold on today. Because if we can recognize that we are created by God and the ramifications of that, the profound impact of that on our souls, that God made me, then we also recognize that God made you and that person and that person. And so then what happens when all these God made miracles wonders of engineering come together. Well, it's God's church. And even more amazing things can happen then when we work together as God's church. I want you to help me out with a little experiment, okay? You see this aisle right here? This aisle right here? Everybody over in that area? Okay, everybody over in that area, I want you to do this. Put your fingers behind your ear and kind of curve them forward like you're trying to listen real carefully and go, A. Okay, now, okay, just remember that, okay? Remember that? You did that good. Follow me whenever, okay? Now, this group right here, this, and the choir did it before, so you can just follow them. Go like this, pinch your nose, and go, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, fantastic. And that, yeah, it's a little bit of change from the first service, okay? You guys got a better word than the first service, yeah. And then this side over here, just go, yippee, okay? And get a real big, oh, you got a better smile than that, okay? Okay, now follow along here. I might just do that for a while. No, that's enough. That's enough. I mean, that was pretty cool. Okay, so what's the point? If you're an ear, you don't have to do it. If you're a nose, if you're a mouth, it all works together. As the church, whatever our place is, whatever our position is, it's all called to work together. Something you have to know, that when Paul wrote this, this was revolutionary. This was a whole new way of looking at society or looking at how people work together. In that era, when people used the illustration of the body, when people used this illustration thinking about a hierarchy, they used it to keep people in place, okay? They used it to keep people in their place. The people who are on the lower rung or on the supposed lower rung, you stay down there and you folks support us here up in the hierarchy. That's how it was used before. So whenever you read this now, it's a whole different look. It's a whole different view. It's something that is really shocking to us because Paul is saying whether you are in a supposed low rung position or a supposed high-rung position, or somewhere in between, we are all valued. We're all important. The church had to be shook to its foundation to read that. Whole new way of looking at things. Whole new way to think of things. That we all have a place. That God is calling us to participate in the life of His church. What is your role in the church, in God's church? I'm not sure. I would be willing to get together with anyone at any time and talk and pray about it. If you're in a time of discerning to kind of see where God is leading you, how He would like you to participate in His church, certainly I'd be willing. But I'm not the one that determines that. God is the one that determines that. God is the one that fills you and guides you and says, hey, help out in this way at the church. Or pray for this person. Or send a note to this person. Or participate in this way or that way. You see, God is the one. And if you've been feeling that or sensing that, or if you feel like you've wanted to do that, but you just haven't taken the time to kind of open yourself and humble yourself before God to allow Him to guide you into His church in a deeper way, I invite you to do so. Because what happens then is God blesses you. When you participate in the life of a place that is focused on God, centered on God, when you participate in a place that lifts up Christ above all names and recognizes the power of resurrection here and now, when you participate in a place that is open to the working and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and willing to follow that, then you're blessed. And you will be blessed in the way that you need most. I have a privilege, and this is one of the reasons why I'm blessed, is because I can look out and see all of you, and look around and see all of you, and see God's church truly at work. See God's church growing, being stretched, being challenged, being humbled before God, and being willing to follow where God leads. It doesn't stop here. We continue. We continue through all the tensions, through all the challenges, and through all of the togetherness brokenness and togetherness pressures that will happen, that will come up. And while those might be challenges, they're not things that need to cause us to break away from each other, but rather to be able to see God in each other even more closely and clearly. In the humblest service, we can recognize God and God at work doing a powerful thing. I told the story of two individuals sitting at Starbucks in the first service, and they were sipping on their candy bar in a cup. You know, it's not really coffee, let's face it. It's more heated sugar. But they were sipping on that, and the one was sitting there talking to the other one. They were looking at a street sweeper there, and the one knew him, the other one didn't. And the one who didn't know him said, "Well, doggone it, we're sitting out here in this beautiful outdoor cafe on a wonderful, wonderful day, and I sure hope that he doesn't sweep up a whole lot of dust, because that would ruin my day." And the other one said, who did know the street sweeper, said, "Well, you know, I don't mind if he sweeps up a lot of dust, because for one thing, he's doing a necessary job and something that a lot of people wouldn't want to do, but it's necessary. The other reason why I don't mind what he's doing and any dust that he sweeps up is because I know this man, and it's because of him being faithful in that service and doing that job and being consistent in doing that job that he's able to put 3 children through college." If we could just open up our minds more and our hearts more, and maybe even close our mouths and be open to God and what he's saying to us and his agenda and his plan. My goodness, my God, and I say that reverently, what powerful things, what healings can take place. I invite you right now just to take a few moments in our discipleship time here, as you hear the music, to simply think about how you are called to be the church, what that means to you. Maybe there's been something that God has been churning inside of you, and today it just kind of brings it to a head, and you can think about that and recognize that God is, he wants you as part of his church, but how? Maybe you just need encouragement for a ministry that you're already in or wanting to start a new ministry. That certainly has happened. People have approached me and done wonderful things. What is God doing in your life? How is he speaking to you? How is he filling you with your love, with his love? How do you need more of that love right now? Open yourself to God as his people, as brothers and sisters in Christ.